I was just in New Orleans talking to indie businesses about resilience 10 years after the flood. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, China, where the turbulent stock market had an especially positive day, with the key index on the Shanghai market rising 4.5%. Some of this may have to do with some government-owned shipping companies linking up. Juliana Liu is a BBC business reporter based in Hong Kong.
China's regulators have made unprecedented efforts to boost the sagging stock market, but their attempts were no match for a market rumor. A report in the Hong Kong-based South China Morning Post newspaper that two of the country's largest shipping companies are planning a merger has driven an unexpected rally in Shanghai. Shares in China Shipping Development and China COSCO were suspended, adding to restructuring hopes. Investors plowed into shipping and transport stocks, convinced that the Chinese government will launch a number of beneficial policies for those sectors. Their enthusiasm for possible future reforms was enough to overcome any worries arising from lackluster economic data at the weekend.
Juliana, thank you. Checking some other numbers, the FT 100 in London is down 0.7%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, with talks said to be progressing to get Greece new emergency funding. S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow futures are up. Another story we're following, Berkshire Hathaway of billionaire Warren Buffett fame is expected to buy a big but low-profile company that makes metal pieces for airplanes and jet engines. Precision cast parts could go for $30 billion. Now to New Orleans, weird and proud of it when it comes to its homegrown businesses. With the 10th anniversary approaching of Katrina and the flood of floods, I traveled to New Orleans to look at some of the changes since my reporting there in the immediate aftermath. I'll have several pieces throughout the week. Today, let's take on the argument that only in New Orleans enterprises were a source of strength in the weeks and years that followed disaster. I like Panera or Starbucks as much as the next person, but Laurel Street Bakery is something different. Hillary Gutman, the proprietor, recalls no chain coffee places opening near her in those weeks that followed the flood. First responders were a hungry market in themselves.
Just the National Guard alone could have kept me open because there was no place to eat. There was no place to get groceries, you know, and people were tired of eating MREs.
The military rations. Gutman was able to line up supplies from 80 miles away 6 weeks later once the evacuation order was lifted and she got the all clear on her water supply. She reopened even before electricity.
I would mix things by hand. I could only do things that I could make by hand, which is a lot, actually.
Indie businesses like this had a strong track record finding ways to reopen. Dana Ennis runs a nonprofit called Stay Local.
They don't really have any options, right? There's no safer place for them to retreat to. They can't go up to headquarters, pull back.
And these indies, Ennis says, have been an engine of growth these last 10 years, not only because tourists gravitate to cool places, but there's also data that indies tend to source from nearby.
I hire someone locally to do the designing, the branding, the social media, and that sort of thing. So I'm creating lots and lots of other local jobs and lots of business for other local businesses.
So as you stand on Magazine Street in New Orleans, you can play the game of spot the recognizable brand. I see Loiselle Vintage Modern, Baby Bump, another Broken Egg Cafe, CNC's Coffee House. I guess over there is GNC, General Nutrition Center, which you would see around the country, but just about everything else is custom. One urban planning expert told me this comes from under rather than over planning. For such a dense commercial strip, planners didn't push suburban-style parking lots, and shoppers just deal with the street parking or walk. Quentin Messer is CEO of the New Orleans Business Alliance.
There are three great cities in the United States: New York, San Francisco, New Orleans, and everything else is Cleveland.
So he's a fan of Tennessee Williams. He's also a fan of the indie businesses that give New Orleans its resilience and character while he's working to attract national retail brands at the same time.
New Orleans was significantly under retail, about 30% under retail. So you had the city losing tax revenue to surrounding parishes, other states.
To regions outside the city that had the national chains. A new challenge is that indie businesses are seeing their rents rise. They blame the nationals coming in, sometimes lured with tax breaks, bidding up their leases. But in many parts of post-Katrina New Orleans, national chains are nowhere to be seen. Here at Community Book Center in the city's 7th Ward, there's a focus on African-American-themed works.
We became known as the Bells of Bayou Road.
The founder, Vera Warren Williams, was part of a group of women who also ran businesses along this block, a hair salon, food, daycare. After the disaster, they got back in business with a common landline, a copy machine, even shared labor.
We pooled our resources together and we supported each other and encouraged each other to come back and to just continue to redevelop.
Before our hearts get overwarmed, here's a dose of post-Katrina retail reality. Although the storm thought otherwise, this wasn't a flood zone and the store had no flood insurance. When Warren Williams scraped together the money to fix the ruined floor, a careless workman left the water on, destroying the repair. She paid up front to fix the shattered windows, but those contractors vanished. Weeks later, she tracked down their sorry souls.
I was able to remind them who I was and escort them to the bank and got my money and I was done.
Her challenge 10 years later is digital. We all know what the Amazons and Kindles of the world are doing to booksellers. The national competition didn't move in next door. They slid in via the internet. Vera Warren Williams is adapting by selling more gifts and the Senegalese cloth set out in neat piles amid the bookshelves. Tomorrow, the indie business that took 9 years to reopen after the flood. Follow our coverage 10 years after the flood of floods at marketplace.org. May I recommend the cool interactive map that my colleague Katie Long put together? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.